out of 10, 40%, 4 out of 10, 40 out of 100, right? A big number of people are honest enough to say that they're experiencing varying degrees of dissatisfaction in their marriage. And if some others were honest, it'd probably be even a higher percentage. It's pretty staggering. What's interesting, that in a 2017 study published by the Journal of Marriage and Family, indicated that emotional disengagement, when you're emotionally disengaged, disconnected from your spouse, is one of the most significant predictors of marital dissatisfaction, and often precedes those other issues of infidelity and divorce. Wow. Dr. Randy here. This is Intentional Living. We got to get a handle on this thing of showing affection and why that's important in marriage. Today on Intentional Living, we want to save a marriage. We want to encourage a marriage. We want to touch a marriage, maybe yours today. And if we do that, then it's been worthwhile, and we can go home and say, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to do this today. Jennifer's here. Steven's here. I'm here. I'm Dr. Randy. Our team is here, I think, upstairs, aren't they, on the phone? And we love you guys, and we want the best for you live on this eve of Independence Day in America. So the phone line's open. I want to keep this as positive as I can today, because at the end of this half hour, all I want to do is really get us to think about the power of affection. What is affection in marriage? And I want to hear one thing that's going on in your marriage that shows affection. What does your spouse do to show you affection in your marriage? My friend Gary Chapman wrote the whole book, Five Love Languages. And that's really his way of saying, hey, there are five ways you can show affection. Sometimes it's physical touch, sometimes it's gifts, sometimes it's time. It's in different ways, but how does your spouse show you affection? Got some really fun stories to share today that have been left on our comment line. We want you to join us. We're live. The phone line's open. Let's go. 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717. This is a little disturbing. According to a 2015 study from the Journal of Health and Social Behavior, individuals in emotionally distant or affectionless marriages are at higher risk of mental health issues, including depression and anxiety. Not really a surprise. Another report from the American Association of Marriage and Family Therapy, they report 15% of married women and 25% of married men have had extramarital affairs, with emotional disconnection being a significant contributing factor. All right, let's be aware of this. We got to give you some help too. We're going to talk about some things you can do, but we want you to join in. We've heard the stories. We know that it's a problem. And the question today is, do we care enough to say, here's one thing I'm going to do for the next 30 days to start showing my spouse some affection, even though I'm not feeling like I want to do it? Okay. You know, when I think about, by the way, the phone line's open, 888-888-1717. Is the phone number today, and certainly we'd love to have you join in. You know, we see in Scripture Jesus demonstrating his love for his disciples and washing their feet. Now, they could have washed their own feet. Now, why were they dirty? They lived in, you know, they're walking around with sandals in Israel, and it's kind of like walking around the parts of the deserts of Arizona, right? And your feet get dusty. We take our shoes off. In their case, they wash their feet, right? And one of the ways Jesus showed his love, he demonstrated for his disciples by washing their feet. He didn't just hand them a towel. He got involved in that way of physically connecting with them and saying, hey, this, what I do here, I want you to go out and do in the world. So when we see throughout Scripture, Jesus showed that kind of affection and care for people. And boy, certainly should go on in our marriages. Sad stories. I want to get started. I want you to hear David from New Mexico, because he sort of sets the stage for the issue today. And then we're going to turn the corner and talk about one thing that's positive. What is it in your marriage? What does your spouse do to show affection? 888-888-1717.
My wife and I both have major health problems, and hers from an accident years ago when she was 17, me just recently. And with the health problems came a huge, huge financial burden and me not working anymore for quite a while, if ever again. And we started growing apart. And I realized one of the things that we had been doing while I was working is she would text me a little message during the day, or I would text her, and we'd kind of tag each other back and forth all day. Mm. It works wonders for me when I'm out there somewhere and the sun is so hot you could fry eggs on a rooftop. The crew is dragging their feet and being the crew, and the suppliers are late with everything. And then in the middle of all of it, when I'm so stressed, I could strangle the next person that walks up to me. She sends a text and just says, loving you, thinking of you, hope your day is going good. And suddenly the day is going good. Right. And there's been times we've dropped out of that habit because of our health. I spent a lot of time in the hospital. She spent a lot of time in the hospital, and we just get eaten up with just health issues, taking care of each other, changing bandages, doing the things that have to be done. But they aren't really affection. She made that clear to me the other night. That doesn't mean you love me. That means you're my caregiver. I want you to be my husband. It's her mantra. And I found that taking care of her from her perspective is what any nurse or doctor would do. But caring for her spiritually and emotionally in the way that I talk to her, the way that I show affection, even something as simple as when she's sitting in a wheelchair to walk by and brush her shoulder with my hand, and I'll always get this little response. And if I am out in therapy now, which I spend a lot of time at therapy, I'll again start getting these little text messages.
Well, I like that. Dave, I'm sorry for what you're all going through, but we all go through things, and certainly you're in the midst of the challenges, and the research is very clear. Marriages can go south, the stress starts to build, financial problems, family stress issues, work-related things, and pretty soon the things that hold us together, the glue in marriage, which, by the way, is not just paying the bill and raising the kids. Now, that's commitment, right? We need to do it. Tough days, we're there. We shouldn't be running out on our marriage. But if we don't have affection, we got a problem. I wrote a whole book as a result of the research that we had seen on this, and it was a book. It's a book called Starve for Affection, why we crave it, why it's important, and why it holds marriages together. And I really wrote it around the idea that if we're not, we're all affecting somebody, right? How are we affecting our spouse? And if we're not showing affection to our spouse, if we're not impacting them in a way that's meaningful, it can lead to dissatisfaction, distance, and unfortunately, sometimes people just giving up and turning elsewhere where they think they're going to find affection, but they don't. Because here's what happens. You find affection, you think, attention, you think, and then that becomes a routine later on. Well, that's what I hear from people. It's exciting for a while, and then listen, if you're married, this is a really important topic. What is your spouse doing? One thing that you appreciate, one thing you want to give a shout out to your spouse saying, but I really appreciate when my husband or my wife in our marriage is intentional enough to show affection in this way. What is it? 888-888-1717 is the number. We're going to go to Cheryl in Florida in just a moment. She left a comment on our storyline. But you know what, Jennifer, I'm looking at our phone lines, and it's yesterday when we talked about the problems with adult siblings, the lines went crazy. We talk about showing affection today, and they're very quiet. That is, I hope that's not an indication that you all are saying, I don't know, I'm waiting to hear what you're going to say because I need that in my marriage. I think we could... I hope we got some people who are saying, hey, I get it today and I want to be a part of it.
I think people are waiting to hear what others are doing, maybe.
Yeah, we'll see. 888-888-1717. This is what Cheryl said from Florida. What's your one thing that your husband does that shows affection, Cheryl?
Oh, it's really cool. My husband listens and makes eye contact, and he reminds me that even in the workplace, he says that a lot of women just want to be listened to and have eye contact made to them. So he makes a point to do that at home. So that's out of the ballpark for him at work when he does that at work. But when he brings that home, I just adore that because he's tired, but he listens and he makes eye contact.
So do you have a scheduled time that you do this, or is it just pattern of his interaction with you that when you speak, he really stops and connects with you?
As soon as he walks in the door from work, that's a key time for him. And then just the rest of the evening, we just do our routine and we continue to listen, make eye contact. And we also read our Bibles together or separate. We make sure we do both and stay prayed up. That's key as well.
Tell me a little more about that feeling that you get when your spouse does something as simple and as intentional as just paying attention, getting eye contact, and I'm sure, you know, asking questions and so on. How does that make you feel?
Thanks, Dr. Randy. I feel loved. I feel like our love language is connecting with one another. It's not just one way. It's mutual. And so I feel like I'm not constantly taking and I'm not constantly giving. I don't feel like it's one way. I feel like it's mutual back and forth and reciprocal. And then when we do have a heated moment, we just hit the pavement. We start walking or running together. And then by the end of the run, we're just like, oh, yeah, what was that thing that we were worried about? So it's totally cool.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Do you feel like you're spinning your wheels and not making any progress? In his message, Being Before Doing, Dr. Randy explores how to live an intentional life for Christ as we learn how to be before we do anything for God. With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that gets this message, along with unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive content.
Let's be who Christ made us to be in order to do what Christ has asked us to do. And as we do that, that is what Intentional Living is all about.
So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Amen. Thank you. That's an excerpt from the teaching, Be Before Do. It's based on the book of Ephesians, all six chapters in about a 45-minute lesson as I lay out the fact that the first three chapters of Ephesians clearly is about the inside work of who we are in Christ. It's a beautiful passage reminding us that we're saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves, is a gift of God, that we've been chosen by God, that He loves us, that we've been sealed, we've been confirmed. I believe we're there. You know, if you know Jesus Christ, what a beautiful thing. And then he says, therefore, that's what Paul says in chapter 4, therefore, and then he lays out, hey, be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Be angry, but do not sin. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, respect your husbands. Work is unto the Lord, not unto men. Put on the full armor of God. Children, obey your parents. I mean, he lays it out. And so that's the doing part. You love me, you do it, right? That's what it is. Because of the first three chapters in Ephesians, the last three chapters are just a gift and a benefit in our lives when we follow it. And so that lesson will take you through the whole book of Ephesians and encourage your heart, I think. And so members, I hope if you've listened to it, share it with others. If you're not a member, come and join us. It's up on our exclusive site for members at Intentional Living. How do you do that? Just call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717, or go on over to theintentionallife.com, click on donate. And it's all the information's there. Fair enough. All right. You all started calling here, and that's good. I'm glad to hear that there's some affection going on in our listeners. And let's get started with Holly in Kansas. Hi, Holly. How you doing?
Good.
Good. How is affection shown in your marriage from your husband?
We give each other a kiss and a hug every time we leave and tell each other we love each other every day.
Yeah, because you never know. That may be the last time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And even though that's a little thing, it's a big thing in terms of connecting, isn't it?
Yeah. We was at the house and my husband was having a heart attack and they took him in the ambulance and I told him I loved him and I didn't give him a kiss and he told the nurses on the way to the hospital and said, "Oh my God, that's the first time we've ever left and not give each other a kiss." Mm. And they're like, "Wow."
Wow.
And we've been married 35 years, so.
Well, you make up.
Special.
You keep making up for it, all right? I'll put you on hold. We got a little backlog because we have a little delay system, you know, that runs on the phone and we could hear myself coming back here. So anyway, my wife and I are, I say we're 99.9% good with that. But when all the grandkids are there, sometimes it gets a little busy. When I'm leaving, it's kind of like, were you gone? You know? And so anyway, that's a good reminder. All right. Thank you, Stephen. You're next in Georgia. How are you, Stephen?
I'm doing great, Dr. Randy. How are you doing today?
Good,
sir?
Good. Doing well. Thank you. What about affection in your marriage?
Yes. I was telling Stephen, your producer there, which I've called in a couple times before, and Brother Stephen has called in before, but me and my wife right now, she is going through nursing school, and she's working full-time, and she is just got a lot on her. And I work and take care of a couple grandparents that have dementia. It's just a lot. It's a lot of stress.
Yeah.
And if it weren't for Jesus being the center of it, man, I don't see how people can make it without him.
Yeah.
I know right now that if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't make it. And we still have our battles. We still have our arguments, our loud discussions, as they're called sometimes. But at the end of the day, we love one another and we forgive one another. And we pray with one another. And sometimes when she just gets overwhelmed, I found just hold her. I just hold her.
Mm.
And I kiss her on her forehead, and I just tell her I love her, and I let her know that God's taking care of this, and he's going to see us through it. And
Amen.
That's the biggest thing that helps us through.
That's fantastic. How are you doing? You should kind of slid in there that you got your own personal battle.
Yeah, it's just a lot. It's just very stressful for me too, because you're taking care of your family. You're all in a large household, having to take care of one. You know, we could separate and go do our own thing, but we're taking care of our family. We're not throwing them into a nursing home, and so it's very challenging to do that. And then you got aging parents as well. You're helping take care of.
Yeah,
and. It's a lot. It's a lot. And we love them dearly. I think, and I'll just make a statement, I think that's really the way God intended it, for the family members to take care of the elderly like that, because you learn so much love and long-suffering and patience that you don't get when you just go and throw them in a home.
Yeah.
And that's what people do. They just discard people.
Yeah,
and it's so sad.
Yeah, you travel around the world, you see how some of the world does it differently. It was interesting, right? My wife and I, we've traveled to Israel several times across that beautiful part of the world. Not recently because of what's going on, obviously. By the way, we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for that whole region and for all the people involved. But you'd notice when you drive around Israel, you'd see a house, because they tend to build, they don't borrow like we do. They tend to build as they get the income and they have the money. And you'll see a house that's half completed. And then the upper floor isn't done yet. And I'd ask, what's going on? Well, because families are supporting each other, they're going to have the family member on the second floor. But once they get it done, the whole family's there. And in parts of the world, you see more of that. And we see that more in this country than we used to. A lot of it having to do with economic stress, where there's support going on across generations, which I think is a beautiful thing if it's done correctly, done lovingly. All right. Thank you, Stephen. Let me go to Heather in Texas. How are you, Heather?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Good, good. Tell me, what does affection look like in your marriage?
Well, what I was saying earlier was that My husband and I've been married for 37 years and known each other for 40, and he has always, not one time when I wake up, he always gives me a kiss before he goes to work, all goes by his day, and he has, he always makes me my coffee in the morning, mm-hmm. And he opens the door for me still, and he still treats me like if we, just like the first time we ever met, he does everything for me just the same. Walks with me into the stores, just holding me, and everybody thinks we're high school sweethearts.
Wow.
So he still does all that, and I just...
what does that mean to you?
That many years, it means a lot, and I just feel like God brought us together and a long time ago, and it was for a reason why he's still in my life. And my kids look at us, and we set that, I feel like we set that example to them.
Yeah.
To be strong in the relationship and try hard to not give up when hard times come.
Yeah, that's great. Good for you. Hey, listen, you picked well, it sounds like, in marriage.
Yes, sir. It wasn't always easy. It's not easy like a lot of kids think now. They get married and they just think that everything's going to be so easy in life. It's not. It's you got to struggle, but you got to struggle together. And if you stay together, especially in the hard times, that's what's going to, you know, get you through. And having God in your life, you know, that's very important, because without him, you can't do things in life. You can't think, okay, I can do this on my own. You can't.
Amen. Hey, listen, great story. 37 years, still holding hands, making coffee, and acting like they're teenagers. That's pretty good. It's pretty good. I was mentioning, we have three of our grandchildren, and mom and dad, the crew from Africa, the ministry in Africa, they're home here visiting with us this summer. And like I told Andrea, I said, boy, you come at the hottest time instead of coming, you know, you come in July. But anyway, they've been visiting, and we're enjoying it. It keeps you young, right, with all the grandkids. But anyway, it was in the kitchen, and my wife Donna was in there, and I went over and I gave Donna a big hug and gave her a kiss. It happened to be that our granddaughter, Aya, was looking. She was seeing this. And I think she's 9. If she's listening, sorry, Aya, I think she's 9. And she gave me that look like, ooh, you guys do that? You guys, yes. Anyway, showing affection, powerful thing in marriage. Let's take a break. We'll be back. I'll tell you what, we're going to continue this after we go off here in a little bit. We want to encourage people, because I'll tell you what, we have people listening today, maybe unlike you, who are really feeling desperate because there's no affection in their marriage. And if nothing else, you're saying, hey, it's possible, it's not complicated, and here's one thing we're doing. You have an opportunity to minister to someone who's hurting today. All right? Phone lines open. Keep calling. 888-888-1717. Paul is a very logical person. He was a thinker. He was an intellectual. And as he wrote, he did in an orderly fashion, just like an attorney would lay out the case, A, B, C, D, E. Therefore, here's what you can expect. And he says to us in Ephesians 4 through 6, first, you need to be, because that precedes what you're going to do. He focuses on what we're becoming. And then he talks about what we're to do. Are you ready? Paul says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You know, it's an excerpt from the teaching this month. It has, again, to do with the being before doing, the first half of Ephesians, setting up the second half of Ephesians. The first half, the first three chapters, are all about who we are in Christ. It's a beautiful passage. If you haven't spent time in Ephesians, yeah, that's in the Bible, in the New Testament. It's the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. He just lays out, I love Paul because he just lays it out, and he's very clear. There's a lot of great doctrinal truth there in those first three chapters of Ephesians. And then he just turns everything upside down in a way and says, okay, guys, therefore, boom, 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 here's how we should be living our lives. And he lays it out. You want to say, well, what does the Bible teach about money, kids, marriage, work? Ephesians is a good place to start. But don't just jump to the verse. Go to the first three chapters and ask yourself, do I have a relationship with Christ or not? Because he lays out very clearly the power of that and how that occurs and why it's important. Therefore, here's how we're to live. It's a beautiful thing. Talking about emotional engagement in marriage today, it's certainly one act of intentionality.
Well, when my husband's doing well, the affection is wonderful. I feel completely whole in him and in our relationship with God. But there are times when, and this is one of them, that I just feel like I'm completely alone. Right now, I'm just leaning on God, but I'm really at a breaking point. I am so tired. And I have no desire whatsoever to leave my husband. I know that we're meant to be, but it's such a hard time that we're going through right now. I can't see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, that's sad. Let me tell you, let me help you understand some things that might be helpful to you. When we get depressed, when we get down, when we get into a pit, sometimes all we see is the pit. We don't see any hope. We don't see any way out. Can I encourage you to find a couple of things that might be positive? Intentional living is really, really a straightforward ministry. I really wrote this part of our mission statement in 7 words to make sure we all understand it. We're here to help you today, talking about your marriage. We're here to help you experience your marriage as God intended. And he never intended for us to every day just feel like we're hopeless in our marriage. Now, not every day is going to be Disneyland, all right? Not every day is going to be visiting the Bahamas. You're going to have down days. You're going to have illness. There's going to be death. There's going to be loss. There's going to be financial challenges. There's going to be kids and all the things that come with life. But I'll tell you what, you and I need to understand that God's intention is for us to love each other, to be affectionate with each other, and to support each other in our marriage. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church, and he sacrificed to the very end for her. And wives, to be able to reverence your husband. There's a dynamic in this relationship, give and take, not 50-50. Sometimes it's 90-10. Sometimes it's 50-50. Whatever it is, to be able to do that in your marriage. That's God's intention. We're going to go off the air, but we're going to record for Friday, and we'd love to have you share your story. Get in online now. I want to hear one thing going on in your marriage. Don't miss the opportunity to share with others one thing showing affection. When do you feel most loved in your marriage? Give us a call, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. Dr. Randy here from Intentional Living. Have a great day and a great 4th. We'll see you again tomorrow.